Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 257, 50 Shades Darker, or shittier.
Yeah, I was, it was, by like, the way, they were just rolling off last night. Yeah. I was like, dumber, dimmer.
Oh. By the way, we won't be editing this one, so if you come to the podcast for the chicken noises...
Yeah,
you will be disappointed.
Well, I've never been happier to hear that.
So,
ironically, Joe's not here.
Yeah, I know, right? That's what I said. So, let's go around the table, and everyone can introduce themselves and their guest.
Hi, this is Dan, and standing next to me is Ellie.
Hello,
my wife.
You're very short when you stand
next to me. I feel like this is like the dating game or something.
It's like the newlywed game.
The newlywed game. And so, this is Ellie.
So whenever we talk about sex for the rest of the movie, we have to say making whoopee.
Yes.
Making whoopee.
So I'm Kevin, and this is my fiance, Katie.
Hi, I'm Katie.
And I'm Tom, and this is my wife, Crystal. You've been on the show since you've been my wife, right?
Yes.
Okay.
She gave us a great story about trolls.
Yeah.
That's right. She came down for trolls. I forgot about that. And then also returning from the last 50 Shades episode is, what's your official title? I don't want to get it wrong.
Oh, that's
Lindsay.
Funny. This is Lindsay Walden. I am a certified sex therapist and licensed professional counselor.
See, I knew there was more than just sex therapist.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to relegate you to just the dirty stuff.
Right, right.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that, but it is funny. It's like, you know, I'll be like, what do you do? Oh, I'm a therapist. You know, I work with depression, anxiety. Well, what kind of therapist? Well, I'm a sex therapist, and nobody cares about depression and anxiety
right.
anymore. It's like, oh, let's talk about that. I want to ask you a question, which is fine. I think it's fun.
Well, if you're doing it right, it fixes the depression.
It could. Well, it could, absolutely. Or at least help it.
Yeah. So, just real quick, shameless plugs that we always do. Don't forget that we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. We did our list of show sharers on the last episode. But if you would like to be a show sharer, you can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/realspoilers. Share the show with your friends and maybe not your family on this one. Depends on what region of Appalachia you might be from.
Right. Maybe depends on the family.
Get those privacy settings.
Sure.
Have to go.
It's a good way to test them.
Good way to test your privacy settings.
Normally we have Joe to synopsisize our movies.
There's nothing to synopsize.
Yeah. Joe is not here.
There's no way. I mean,
there has to be a plot to synopsis.
There is so little that happens in this movie.
There is.
I was so happy when this movie didn't have a sex scene, because the sex scenes were like, oh, let's have seven and we'll figure out what happens in between.
Right.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty much. Even the books are kind of written that way, to be honest with you. Yeah.
It's like how most movies do action scenes.
Yes.
They write the, they have the action set pieces, and then they write the film
they
around
them. They have the beats. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They probably put it in the big board, and they had all the little post-its, and they're like, okay, well, yeah, here's this beat. And then what happens in between? I don't know. Crash a helicopter.
So why don't we talk about the sex scenes first, and then we can have fun.
Haley, I remember you. You were hilarious. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, I remember you now.
Let's talk about the sex scenes first, and then let's talk about how bad...
The rest of it was?
So where we last left off was...
An elevator door closed.
Right.
And so, a door shut.
So right. Now she's working at her dream job at a publisher.
A dream job at a publisher.
Freudian slip.
Right.
Who, at the beginning of this movie, is, you know, like... Ellie's like, oh, they didn't make him good looking in the book. So right. The guy's kind of charming and seems pleasant and good looking.
Right. Mm-hmm.
By the end of this, he's like Simon Bar Sinister. But at the beginning of this, you know, you're like, well, okay, she's got a job. She's happy.
I thought he was going to be the legit like love triangle guy.
Oh, really?
Oh, you didn't think he would leave and then you don't see him until the end of the movie for four seconds? How strange.
The first 5 seconds of this movie, I looked at LA and go, so he's the bad guy, right?
Yeah. Right. Right.
Like, oh good. Because they had to have something happen in this movie.
Yeah. So he gets fired 30 minutes into it, and then, oh, well, I guess he's not in the movie anymore.
Nope. I feel like this movie was really interesting in its music choices and that you always knew when something bad was going to happen because all of a sudden, everything dark and ominous happened. And I'm like, okay, kind of giving it away, just saying, like, bad person about to enter the room and scene. Like, there we go.
Unless there's vocals, in which case, they'll be fucking.
Yeah.
Right.
So basically, they decide that they're going to have a vanilla relationship, correct?
Well, he's going to start pseudo-stalking her.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
can I address that piece of it for a second?
Yes, we'd love to hear your take on
so
that.
Here's my issue with these books and movies in general. I think from a fantasy perspective and kind of playing with the idea, like, okay, I get it. Lots of people would love to be, like, lavished with all kinds of gifts and have all of these awesome trips and things happen. I get it. That part's fun and a fantasy of it. But yeah, when somebody is like knowing all your bank account information and you haven't given it to them, when someone is showing up where you are, buying all of these things, like just doing all of this stuff to sort of control and manipulate your life, that's not good.
Let me ask this because this is what I asked Katie after we saw the movie. I'm like, this guy has a mental disorder, right?
Well, and that's the thing, and that's what I really worry about with what these movies, kind of the myth that I feel like they continue to sort of perpetrate is this idea that anybody that's interested in non-vanilla sexual play must be somehow psychologically fucked up. And that's not a true statement, you know?
But this guy is, right?
He is.
Like, I'm not, my point is, I'm not saying the stuff they do in itself is messed up or crazy.
No, I get what you're saying.
But, like, Christian Grey
he's got
has
some issues.
Mental issues.
He has got some issues, yes.
Okay. But I think that's the problem is that if you're watching the movie with a realistic eye, he does have that, but the movie doesn't think that he has it, and the books don't think that
I know,
he has
and,
that, and that's the problem.
Right. And that's what I have an issue with. I like the fact that we have a radio show right now that's talking about these issues because it brings that awareness to the public forefront. Mm-hmm. It's kind of everybody's talking about it. I think that's really important, but I do feel like it might paint a picture of not what should be happening in a situation like that. It shouldn't be just one person decides we're going to do this, and therefore, well, we're doing it now.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that, I mean, it's this movie or book series famously began as Twilight fan fiction.
Right.
Yes.
And you can really kind of see the skeletal remains of Twilight because one of my biggest complaints about Twilight was that both of her, you know, soulmates, as it were, wanted to kill her.
Right.
And not only did they want to kill her, how much they wanted to kill her was an indicator of how much they loved her.
Right.
And I always was found that very disconcerting. And you can kind of see how it was built on that framework with this movie.
Just one of your complaints about Twilight.
Because
I have
one.
An entire mountain.
Oh, I got a whole
Okay, we're not talking about Twilight.
Right.
No. Don't get me started on the
age
difference.
She wants to talk about the sex scenes. Ellie wants the sex scenes.
Yeah. Well, maybe entertaining parts of the movie.
So we should talk about those first.
So he sent in her flowers and he's buying up, like, you know, we see like a glimmer of like her past friendships, you know, like the one guy.
Jose
mm-hmm. has an art opening, right. And it's all pictures of her.
Does she have any boundaries with the men in her life?
No. Well, no. Okay, and Jose, so like clearly she was looking at the camera, so these weren't like creeper photos or anything.
No. But so I feel like the movies, unless you've actually read the books, and this is one of those times where I feel like the movies really don't explain everything.
No.
And unless you've read the books, there's going to be questions that I think people are going to have. Like, for example, the whole, like, her boss character and how that mm-hmm. whole thing is different in the movies than it is in the books.
Oh, yeah.
And that
I had
kind
lots
of
questions because she had read the book and I hadn't. And I'm like, what is the deal with this guy? Because he's there. Christian Grey buys the company.
Right.
He essentially gets fired. And we don't see him again. So I'm like, that's not a thing. And then at the end, spoilers. Right. Creeper McGee is like all of a sudden he's like
wait. But didn't you guys see him at the party?
Yes,
exactly. He was on the staircase, and he was the one wearing the mask.
They had a mask. I go. The whole point of them having a masquerade ball is so they could have some sort of weird masquerade ball. Right. Like, this was like, well, I don't know. Let's do something like Eyes Wide Shut, and we'll have the masquerade ball.
Right.
No purpose.
I thought the same thing.
Other than it kind of looked kind of like a little twisted.
Right.
I know.
Right.
I was like, this family really likes Eyes Wide Shut. Well, and the other thing is, like, especially because Eyes Wide, it's hard to see a scene like that and not think of Eyes Wide Shut.
Right.
And Eyes Wide Shut, obviously, that's famously like a giant orgy scene. And
yes.
you're like, well, I guess that's where he gets it from. Maybe we shouldn't be blaming it on Kim Basinger quite so much.
Right. Right. Now, I will say, of all of the things that happened in that movie, the portrayal of that character and those interactions, I think, were as canon to the books as possible. It was actually kind of fun scenes that made it a little enjoyable.
So the books are really shitty, too.
Oh my gosh!
Well, the second book was the worst.
Okay. I don't know because
those lines from Kim Basinger and the water in the face. And
I'm not saying it was good. I'm not saying it was
close to the book.
It was as canon to the book as anything was, in my opinion. And not anything, but a lot of things. And I just that interaction, I was curious how they were going to play.
So
that
maybe
out.
It's not her fault. She read the lines from the book, and that's what she was given.
Sort of, kind of, yeah. Because I feel like from a fan piece, like there are a ton of people that love the books, love the books, that love the movies, and that's great. There's nothing wrong with that, but you got to kind of know
a little wrong with
you got to know what you're getting when you go in the door, is what I'm saying. Like, if you're expecting this to be a depiction of something, like, we'll use The Secretary for example, which is a depiction of a BDSM sort of love story of how two people come together and they kind of figure this out, rather than like, oh, I'd really like to do all of these things to you that you have no idea about them. And then if you like them, great. And if you don't, you might cry about it, but we're not going to take care of you. Like, that's sort of what I feel like Fifty Shades is.
I feel like The Secretary was good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But this was like...
I'm saying that...
That was a really good movie.
Yeah.
This is a Reader's Digest version of that.
Okay.
You know, that's sort of like, just like this. They're just skimming.
Yeah.
Like, we'll have something
kinda
like this.
Kind of picking some... Yeah, cherry picking the pieces that they think would be kind of fun and erotic. And even the author of the books has even said that when she wrote them, she was sort of utilizing her own fantasy life of things that she wanted someone to do to her.
And that's
very clear, I think, in the way that things are written. Which,
and she
again,
also really doesn't like butt stuff.
Right.
Because, like, how many times does that spell out, but no butt stuff? Like,
I'm not putting those in my butt.
Yeah. Right.
I feel like this movie, or these movies, feel like they're written by, like, a 14-year-old girl who only knows about sex from what she read in a Judy Blume novel. Like, it's like, she has no, like, it just feels like she has no concept of, like, this world or how things work or even entirely what goes into what.
Well,
what do you think? So from your perspective in the books,
I would disagree with that statement.
Are these accurately
no,
depicted
when
at
I was
all?
Four, when I was a 14-year-old girl, I did not know about any
absolutely not.
So not necessarily the alternative, more advanced stuff do I think most 14-year-old girls know about. However, I do feel like the book does, and the movies, I say the book, the movies, whatever, this material we're discussing, that I do feel like in some regards it talks about some of the important things from like a BDSM perspective. But the problem is that what should really happen is that both people sit down and they kind of have a conversation of like, you know, here are some things I enjoy playing with. This is kind of the role I like to take on. Here are some things I enjoy playing with. Let's let's talk about this. Let's figure out sort of a contractual agreement of what we're going to do together. That doesn't really happen. Even the contract that he kind of lays out doesn't really come from her. It comes from him, where she's sort of just supposed to look at everything, select what she might be okay with, and sign it.
Right.
And it's
right.
like, that's not really...
Like,
there's
even,
no conversation.
Even
no.
the negotiation was part of his game.
Right, you know, right. Like it was manipulative. So it wasn't. Yeah. It wasn't altruistic. It wasn't feeling like I want to, you know, be a part of this sort of union where it's like, on one hand, I'm going to try and take you as close to your limits as I can without pushing you over. On the other hand, I'm going to trust you enough to not take me past those limits, so I'm going to relinquish control to you. That's what a true BDSM, like dominant submissive dynamic, should look like.
So did that spawn from probably his mental issues? Like him doing that is the unsafe and unhealthy part of. Based on his issues, you think?
I don't know. And I think that's where it sort of draws like this interesting parallel where it starts to kind of depict that, well, because he went through all of these things, that must be why he enjoys these things. Because trust me, I work with tons of clients that are into far more or at least as intense things as he is. And they don't have mental conditions that are somehow,
and
you know.
Do they normally have the kind of baggage that he has?
I mean, no, like, that's the thing.
That's
like
part of the
some do. Sure. Like maybe like 20-25% of the people, I think was the last number I saw. And I could be a little high on that estimate, but for the most part it's just people that kind of want to play in a different way, or they want to try and elevate something or try and explore some things that might make things more exciting. And that's really what I find more than anything.
But his baggage, first of all, like they're just retconning his baggage, because all of a sudden they had the whole, like, we have a flashback to when he's younger and the whole cigarette thing. I'm like, first of all, those cigarette burns were, I don't remember those in the last movie. So was that...
They were there. Right? They didn't talk about them.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then also, like, her reaction to things are just driven by how they need to move the plot forward. Because, like, the bank account thing comes up. And she just, you know, she's, like, upset about it. And then it just, like, drops it. I'm like, whoa, whoa. Like, she's just carrying on throughout her day.
And the therapist in me wants to, like, scream. Because I'm like, no, wait, whoa. Stop. Don't gloss over that. Like, that's still abusive and creepy. Like,
it's not okay.
Yeah, but then later she's upset about when he tells her something that I'm like, that actually has a good point, like, about the boss. And he's had, you know, three associates or assistants over an 18-month period. And she gets all mad about that. I'm like, so she can ignore that. I mean, it's all just driven, like, her.
I think she was mad.
She has no pure motivation.
I think she was mad he bought the company.
Well, yeah. But it's...
One other way to control him.
Yeah.
Right,
well,
right.
Because she's different than all the other women that he's been with. She does not... want to be submissive. She does not have a submissive personality.
But her reaction to certain things just happen so they can move the plot forward. It isn't like,
I agree.
Like her character is just sort of waffles, you know?
It does.
Right.
Wavers.
In a better movie, she would ignore the fact that he's saying, hey, he's had all these assistants, there's an issue here, because he's already crossed a boundary.
Correct.
And so he's no longer a reliable narrator.
Right. He is not a reliable source.
But that's not what's going on. Mm-hmm. In the same way that, like, you know, the way he tries to control her isn't mentally healthy, but that's not what this book and movies are supposed to be about. And so it never really gets dealt with or brought up.
Which is why I think from, like, I go back and I say, from like a fantasy perspective, kind of playing out the ideas of like maybe something you don't actually want to do totally in life, but you kind of want to play with some stuff. I think it allows for some maybe open discussion and some maybe awareness of things that a lot of people, you know, before watching these movies or reading these books, didn't know what a riding crop was, didn't know what a flogger was.
I didn't know what the balls were. I was excited last night. I'm like, what are those?
Wow. Yeah.
We got to stop at the store.
Right. We need to get those and go to dinner.
I knew what those were.
I mean, you already knew what they were. I didn't know what they were.
I tried to tell her in the theater, and everybody else is like totally silent.
Yeah.
Theater last night, we were the only ones laughing the whole movie. Everyone else was very serious.
Well, we went to go see it. Kevin just kept looking at me. He's like, are you fucking kidding me? Why the hell are we here right now? This is terrible.
We laughed the entire movie.
Right. Yes. Ellie's pulling up Amazon Prime.
What are those called again? Yeah.
Right.
What are those called again?
Vaginal beads.
But what's funny is that, so like, but there are obviously a lot of people that are turned on and aroused by the ideas that part of the movie and that part of the books kind of brings up. There's a reason that from Pure Romance, we have an entire Onyx collection, which is nothing but stuff related to kind of bondage play, discipline play, things that go along with the movie.
Right.
And it's because there are so many people that see it and they're like, what you said. Yeah. They're like, oh my God, I want some of those wall balls. How do I get those? You know?
As long as they don't go up the butt.
Yeah. I'm
right.
I want them to go up my butt.
Right,
and honestly, I was like, I'm not sure where those are going to end up yet. Oh, there they are.
Right.
They looked a little large.
Well, that's what I say.
Yeah.
I go, those look kind of big.
Especially for first time.
I don't disagree.
Do they have different sizes?
They do.
Oh, great.
They do.
So I get small ones to start.
Right. And I will say.
Work your way up.
Okay. I will say, just speaking about Benoit balls, like, they can be a lot of fun for people to play with, but you do have to kind of be aware of, like, okay, so in the movie, she wears them for a pretty extended period of time.
Oh, you're not supposed to do that.
I'm not saying that you can't. Oh. Well, not that. Maybe also that. I don't know.
Well, it was if you get the cheap ones.
It was at the masquerade ball. So.
Right. No, so what happens is that the vaginal muscles, okay, they can contract and relax and contract and relax a lot of times.
If you're doing it right.
If you're doing it right. And then specifically.
Oh, we know how to contract and relax our vaginal muscles.
That's called Kegel exercises.
Yeah, right. We know how to do that.
Right. So the Benoit balls are actually utilizing that same set of muscles, okay? And so what's happening is that as you're moving, as you're walking, your muscles are having to sort of hold the balls inside your body, which develops a certain sensation because they're typically weighted. And so as they kind of move around, they kind of jostle things, and it can be an enjoyable sensation. The problem, though, is that if you wear them for too long of a period of time, the muscles, just like any other muscle group, can get fatigued. It can get sore. It can start to develop like an overuse in that regard because it's like you don't want to
just fall out.
Right. You know, and so what's really cool is that, you know, you can strengthen the vaginal muscles to allow for you to maybe be able to hold them for, let's say, 5 or 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes. But she has them in for hours.
Yeah. That's
significant period of time. And so I feel like that's one of those things where it's like the concept is fun to play with, but that doesn't mean that you like executing the plan the way they did it would be really helpful for a lot of couples. Now there are some people that are going to hear me say that and go, oh my god, I wore them for an hour. Okay, great. I'm not saying you can't. I'm not saying that you can't have your own experience, but that's not necessarily the reason that
they were up there for a good long couple.
So all this time that we thought Cinderella left the ball at midnight.
Right.
It was actually like 9:30, and she just got vaginally exhausted.
The ball left Cinderella.
That's what she heard.
Right.
And it wasn't a glass slipper either.
To answer her question about like, are there different sizes? There absolutely are. And there are different weights also. There are some things that you can buy that are sort of like vaginal trainers that will allow you to sort of insert and like kind of do some exercises to kind of strengthen that muscle if it doesn't already allow you to kind of hold Benoit balls inside, if it feels like it has any atrophy or if it's not as strong as it could be. But actually, yeah, playing in that way can actually increase orgasmic feelings.
Yeah,
it can make things
fun.
Yeah, it's like it can make
try those.
Yeah.
Well, they're, I love her.
They're at the store next to the kettlebells.
Okay.
Do you, is it even a conscious thing? Like, do you even have to think about it?
Or?
Well,
about
I think
what?
If they're sliding out, you'd be thinking about it.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, you do. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, if you relax the muscles enough, they will fall out. So you do have to kind of be aware.
I think that would constantly be on my mind. Like, all right, am I sitting weird? Like, are they going to fall out at any minute?
Yeah, and so that's why you may not want to start with super...
Are they going to pop out?
That's why you may not want to start with super heavy ones, because if they're too heavy, then not only is it going to, you know, make it less time that you can wear them and enjoy it, but it's also going to potentially just fall out.
Yeah. Oh, God, that'd be embarrassing.
So, yeah, so there's some that are, like, maybe this big, like, like small gumball size all the way to kind of like, I don't know, like golf ball size.
Eventually you just go to the bowling alley.
Right. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's about an 8-pounder.
I did think
the sex toy shop at the bowling alley. Yeah.
I did think in the movie it was interesting that Christian did seem to respect the fact that she wanted to go slow.
Yeah.
And she, throughout the movie, I felt she was the one leading the sex scenes where she did want to try new.
He was less rapey in this one.
Yes. Yeah. For sure.
She was more in control of how things were moving.
But from an unhealthy relationship perspective, I also thought it was really unhealthy how he would say, she'd say, I want to slow down, and he would respect that. And then she used sex to kind of tease him. It was like, well, I know I said that, but that's not really what I meant.
Yeah.
I can control you.
Right.
Yeah.
It's still
true.
A control issue.
I agree. Yeah. And I think, you know, when we talk about power and control dynamics in general, it kind of goes back to that sort of yin and yang that I was talking about before. Both people are sort of looking for the same ultimate end result, which is to have like sexual gratification or relationship gratification and happiness. how they go about that may look a little different, but the ultimate end goal is the same. I worry that in their situation, they kind of go back and forth between this, like, control in a bad way, not necessarily control in, like, a healthy way, is what I think you're saying.
Mm-hmm. And exactly. And unfortunately, the movie's not good enough to really explore
so
that.
So bad.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because it's like, that would be an interesting story.
Yes.
They're just not smart enough to know they're telling it.
This is such a thin plot. I was genuinely amazed at how little happened, and that's why I kept looking at Katie through the whole movie, because I thought the first plot was thin, and you know, it was stringing together sex scenes.
There's
with
seven
little
things that happen in this movie. You know, he's got a no-no square. We see that.
Oh, my gosh.
Stop. Don't touch me. Your red lipstick is my no-no square.
For days. I love that title.
Okay, just FYI. Okay, but I just have to say.
Was that healthy that they did that, though?
I actually like that because I think that that's an example of somebody saying, okay, look, here is what I'm comfortable with and here is what I'm not comfortable with. Mm-hmm. And it was him taking an active role in whatever issues he's had and the things that he's gone through and saying, okay, here's what I'm willing to kind of allow you to do. Yeah. I was just laughing at the fact that I leaned over at one point and I was like, oh my God, lipstick does not come off that easy.
Exactly.
Like, it does not just like mildly scrub off. You have to like,
Is that why it was still on there
with
2 days
loofah.
Later?
Yes.
Apparently, apparently, yeah.
All I could think was, is this whole thing because he's ticklish?
From the best I can gather, the reason is that he has some like body memories of being burned and abused in that way, and those were the areas that he was like hurt the most, and that's the best I can gather as to like what the issue is. But that I think ticklish may be it.
See, and the problem wasn't the fact that he had boundaries and that he set them. I get that. The problem was how terrible the writing was, music was, how unsexy it was. It was like, you can touch me anywhere but here. You know, it was just terrible. And so, was the whole movie.
Yeah, and then she asked him to like, oh, can I wash this off? He's like, don't stray from the lines. Don't you dare move.
If you stray from the lines, you're not washing it off.
Just smearing it.
There's Evil Boss.
Evil Boss.
I was like, well, Evil Boss, he's the villain. And then there's Random Girl.
Who's that?
Layla.
Layla. We need to talk about Layla.
The girl from the ring that keeps falling.
Yes. I'm like, every time she popped up, I was like, yeah, something's going to happen. Yeah, I was happy for every stupid thing that happened in this movie that didn't have them and her biting her lip and him not taking his clothes off.
So I want to hear Lindsay's opinion. Why do you think it sounds like Layla moved on from Christian, got married, but now she's back?
See, and I think that also sort of goes to depict that anybody that would choose to be submissive, therefore must have issues, must be somehow psychologically not a sound person. And I really take issue with that because
it's very rarely true.
And in fact, if someone was as sick and not together as Layla seems to be, he should never have entered into a dynamic with her where he would be dominant over her and control her in a way where he could psychologically do more damage. That's just not appropriate. Yeah. And so one of the things that goes along with any type of BDSM play is the idea of aftercare. And aftercare is this concept where we say, okay, we've kind of had this really intense experience. It's been very emotionally involved for both people. Let's just kind of sort of coast down from it and kind of calm down and come down together. I don't get the feeling that Christian in any of his scenes has ever done that. He doesn't even do it with the person he professes to love. I can only imagine what he was doing with any of those other people before.
Right. I'm sure
and
he just leaves the room when he's done, right?
I mean, which is super not the right thing to do, you know, if you're going to play.
I think he just says stay.
Yeah, probably leaves him chained up and leaves.
Right, you know, which is like the opposite of what this is supposed to be.
But there's like five still strung up in the red room.
That's why the house cleaner goes in. There's like, she just makes sure that all the girls are just safe and they're well fed. Here you go, sweetie.
She has the worst
more food.
Job.
Right. Awesome.
She must get paid excellent.
Oh,
the housekeeper better get paid excellent.
But, apparently he makes $24,000 every 15 minutes. So
that'd be nice.
And it pains me to say this, but in the movie's defense.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
They do say that this ring girl. that her husband had died and then she lose a kid too. So I took it to be that
I don't
was
think
part
the kid
of,
is involved.
Okay,
but,
making up excuses for
it. It's okay.
It's what made my first marriage last so long. But I took it to be that like that had triggered some sort of psychotic episode.
Well, she had lost all control of her life
because she had lost her husband and super unexpected.
Right,
he should have maybe caught wind of some of these things.
That's what I'm thinking. That if somebody's
it's not like he's got a team of private investigators following.
But he did win.
Sorry.
Right. And he said that his, his people were like been looking for her. I'm like, okay, you can buy a company to stalk your current girlfriend, but you can't find this girl.
Well, not looking very well because
good
people can't find the girl that's been
She keeps popping up everywhere.
Right, yeah.
She's constantly there. How can you not find her?
So that's probably a good clue. Like, she's going to be there, you know, that kind of thing. But, yeah, I agree with you, Dan, that there would have been, like, some inklings of, like, or some, like, little flashes of, like, ooh, there's some unsteadiness going on here. Yeah. Like, something's not quite, I don't know, like, some craziness is happening.
Did anyone think that Christian Grey was clothed an awful amount?
Oh,
I mean, I don't
want to
complain, but like, how many times did he have sex with his clothes on?
I talked about that the whole time.
Me too.
It was so weird.
Clothes on. I'm sorry, but what's his name? Jamie Dornan?
Yeah.
Jamie Dornan.
Why did he sign up for this movie?
Yeah.
Why? If he wasn't going to get naked, then he should have said, no thanks, find someone else to be Christian Grey.
I mean, Dakota Johnson was naked like in every scene, and then he has his clothes on. It just was very weird.
She was naked way more in this one than the last one.
We would only get maybe like, maybe a
side
half,
butt.
Like maybe 6 inches of his ass, and that was
well,
nothing
Dan says
else.
It was part of Jamie's contract, but again, he should have found a different
movie.
You're
the wrong movie.
Right, that's what I said.
I'm like, I want to ask the dude that made that contract, did you read the book? Because they're naked the entire time.
Right.
That's what makes the book
it would be
worth
like if,
anything.
It would be like
one
if Tom Cruise signed up for a Mission Impossible movie but said, no running.
No running.
Yeah, one of the biggest characters in these books is his dick, and it's not there.
He didn't
show up. Actually, there's not even like a little inkling of like pubic hair above anything. Like, there's nothing. There's not even a little bit of a shaft.
He's like the sex movie equivalent of, was it Curly Joe Besser that became a stooge but was like, but you can't hit me.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah. That's a real. I might have my stooge wrong, but one of those later stooges that replaced Curly was like, "But you can't hit me,"
which means that was poor Curly caught everything.
Yeah,
or Larry. Larry got it all. So the other thing is, and it just chafes me. Is this? It's like it's easy to get past a lot of this stuff because he's a billionaire. He makes $24,000 a second.
Every 15 minutes.
Sorry.
Right. I mean, let's be accurate about his accounting.
So all of these things. But it's like, if this guy looked like Steve Buscemi, man, this would be so much more interesting.
But it would also be so much creepier. Like, why is it okay for him to go to the hardware store and buy all this stuff and stalk someone because he's handsome?
Right. But if he wasn't.
If he wasn't, no one would see this movie.
Right.
No one would agree with it. And that's a problem. Like,
I agree. Yeah. And I think it does also kind of continue this myth that the only people that engage in any type of alternative sexual play are these beautiful people that have to look a certain way. And I'm not saying that they can't be, but it is. I do find it really interesting that it's like, if you were like this, I don't know, like kind of creepy looking dude walking in the hardware store buying some ropes.
The
and
road.
Asking if you can tie somebody
I would
up.
Be
no
wondering, should I call 911?
Right.
But with him, it's sexy.
Right.
Yeah.
Why is
that okay?
Do you have to say it like that?
Yeah, yes. That's in my contract.
It would be sexier if he was actually naked.
You would think.
Yes.
Nope, not
so
this movie.
They agree to have a vanilla relationship.
Yes.
The
I think it's vanilla-ish.
They agree to that, and she keeps
like
pushing
the
boundaries.
Yes, she does.
Vanilla.
Yeah.
That was what were those foot shackles? I've never seen that before.
I've never seen that either. And when
the
he bends over.
About this movie that I like is that when they do utilize the sex equipment, they do it right.
Oh, good.
And
that
so,
was very efficient.
And he checked in with her. He actually like, are you okay?
He
are you
did.
Doing fine?
Right.
Are you
he
doing
did.
Okay?
He did, which was like, oh my gosh, he's actually having a moment where he's being self-aware.
I know, when he put those things on her ankles and then like kicked them apart, so I was like, is he have like a pap smear fetish? I was like, is he going to hang her up?
So he could, because I don't
that's
know. If
you
know. So what that was? That's
Ellie says
that's,
making a shopping
says
list.
A lot about them.
That's a spreader bar, is what that is.
Oh. Oh.
And a spreader bar
spread
basically
her.
Does have shackles. It has a shackle on each ankle. Basically,
are they padded inside the shackle?
Oh yeah,
because
oh, yeah.
That would
that's
hurt
nice.
Being pulled
I mean,
apart.
I'm not going to say every single one that exists is because there are some people that do like pain.
Sure.
So, but those were and so they were like leather cuffs that are on the end of each end of the spreader bar, and then you can spread it to very widths, and then what's really cool is that you can actually use it to then flip someone over
cool.
if you so choose. And what's interesting is that that's a really hard thing to explain
to someone, even when you're selling a product, to like explain how you can use it like that. Yeah. He just did it for me. Yeah. That was kind of awesome. Yeah. So
that was
awesome.
Uh-huh.
You're like, so that's a spreader bar. My phone.
Right.
Here's what you do.
Here's what you do. You spread it and you flip it. Right.
Like, we'll take two.
Right. Exactly. And so, and that can be used for a variety of reasons. And obviously, at one point, he did flip her over, so he used it in two different ways. But you could then
and
potentially
he used her in two different ways.
He did. This is true. You could then, like, on that spreader bar, there were some like little like D-rings and hooks that were on it. You can then hook it to other things,
be
it
an
apparatus of some kind. Be it an apparatus of some kind, if it's something you're going to hang from a ceiling or a suspension or whatever.
I was checking it. It looked like it was pretty quality build. So,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
The welds on
pretty solid.
Pretty
it better
nice,
be
so
if it's a millionaire bike.
Yeah.
You would think,
yeah.
Right? And, you know, the sex therapist in me just really wants a Red Room of Pain because I think it would be awesome to have. Like, yeah. I really do. Like, yeah. I'm like, oh my gosh, I need this room in my life.
I was trying to calculate how much all that cost.
Yeah.
And then I was also like,
does
all this stuff get sanitized?
Oh,
by
yes.
The cleaning lady?
That's what the housekeeper's there for.
Yeah.
In the book, I believe they address that briefly,
yes,
where
did.
She asks him, and it may even actually be in the third movie or the third book. I'm not sure if it's in the second one or not. They kind of run together.
Well, that's
for me.
A little late in the game.
Nothing gets clean into the third.
I've been hoisting those balls around for the past few hours.
Yeah. Did you clean those?
I know when he hands.
Oh yeah, I got a steam room.
It's next to the red room.
When he hands her the balls at first, I was like, you're really going to want to see something like that come out of the wrapper.
Yeah. Okay, so here's a good point, though. So anytime you are talking about utilizing sex toys with any partners that you're playing with, you do want to have a different set of sex toys for different people. So especially if it's something like that's going to be going inside of a body or an orifice, my rule of thumb is that if you're going to be using that with multiple people, have a different one.
Yes.
Unless it's people that are in like sort of some kind of like a polyamorous situation where everybody's using the same stuff. Okay, you can have an agreement where you come to like, this is how we're going to do things. But for the most part, you need to be kind of...
You're probably going
to
want a sign-out sheet, though.
Speaking of the rule of thumb, so that elevator...
Yeah.
Sequence.
Oh, that was so
the
not realistic.
The longest elevator ride ever.
Right.
At least we got to hear the best song in the movie.
Yeah.
Van Morrison.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, they paid for it. They're like, well, this song, we're going to actually use most of the song.
Right.
Right. Right.
Although that probably was playing into, which I get excites me too, the whole, some people do enjoy acting out in public.
Yes. And that's what I was going to say.
I believe that's what they were doing. And I try to get Dan to do that with me, and he never agrees to do it with me.
Okay, so let's talk about that for a second.
Dan.
I love
Dan.
Dan's the blank stare on his face.
I'm not getting up, Katie. First of all, I don't wear panties, but you know, so I just cut to the chase. But have you ever tried to take those off, like under jeans?
It's never as sexy as in the movies, I'll tell you that.
Drop it.
One leg, well
hold on.
Okay.
You kind of have to be prepared and start with a skirt. Like, you need to know a
skirt and no panties.
Oh, her. Okay.
Let me.
Well, that was my problem. Because I'm like, first of all, this isn't going to be subtle.
Resisting?
I was like, trying to take these off, but nobody noticed it.
Dan's like, see, communication
so I'm there with my pants
Our
around my ankles.
Communication was lacking.
It was. It was. But see, it was better than the movie. So already you're a step ahead, right?
This is the problem with the movie. So I get the idea of the elevator and the, I guess, exhibitionism.
Yes.
If that's what you call it. I get the idea of it. There's no way those people would not have
noticed
that. That's the problem. It's,
right.
All the ideas. As bad as the source material may be, but all these concepts are okay. The concept is fine.
Yeah.
The execution is awful.
Yeah.
I'm like, they're like sitting there orgasming behind this lady 3 inches away from their face. You don't think so? Dude, if someone sneezes, I turn around. Like,
I was like,
she was doing some really heavy breathing. She's like, I'd be like, what the fuck are you doing?
The question is, you don't, because it's unrealistic.
It was very unrealistic.
So, here's the thing, and there are so many people that really enjoy the idea of like doing things in public that are supposed to be private, and I think that that's what the movie's kind of going for. Actually, the taking the underwear off of the table, that's not an unheard of thing.
Oh, no, I think I've done that before.
I'm doing that right now.
No one look over here. Don't
Tom
look
Holmes.
Over here, everybody. Oh, God. Yeah,
why are they moist?
You know why.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that's one of those kind of fun things that people can play with.
Yeah.
The idea, though, that it's like, are you really going to be able to, you know, kind of manually stimulate someone to orgasm in the back of a crowded elevator?
And then tell them, don't come.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
don't do it.
When he was like,
not allowed.
When he was like, don't come, I'm like, dude, let's not flatter.
Yeah.
Like, she's playing along in the elevator, but she's really not going to get
it. Yeah, I agree.
And the lady in front of them is like, is it raining outside?
What is happening? Yeah, what is happening behind me in this elevator?
Can you imagine what that elevator must have...
Why is this elevator taking 5 minutes? Yeah. Is anybody upset about this?
Why does this elevator smell like a rainforest?
You know what? The only explanation is they were in a building for the deaf and blind. I think that's the only possibly.
Because I feel like it's more realistically, I mean, again, this is not realistic at all, but I feel like, again, with if it was happening behind me, I would be like, should I, is she okay? Do I want to play along?
There's do I lots pull of her hair? What do they want from me?
We also
so many
together?
Elevators have I think, mirrors too.
I think right. this yeah. may yeah. like this may explain like there's a whole bigger issue, but with it, what it comes down to is that these fantasies probably work better as a book where you can imagine them in your own situation.
Yes.
Because seeing
you
them on screen
yourself.
As one person's idea of this unrealistic thing, it's just stupid. So it's best left to yourself to imagine and not seem so goofy.
Because
that's
you can
a
imagine,
good point. And
you can imagine yourself as Anastasia.
That's why I really enjoyed the book.
Yeah.
Right. See, I enjoyed the books too. I'm
you
just
imagined
like,
it all.
Yes. Like, Christian, get this. Like, yes. And then watching him, I'm like, oh, that's terrible. Why would that? Why? I do not want that. That looks terrible.
I certainly wouldn't have imagined an entire elevator full of people all getting on at the same floor and then all getting off at the same floor.
Yes.
I did like...
I mean...
There's only two stops on this elevator.
Right.
But they're really, really far apart.
Well, it's the executive suite where you have to go to the special elevator that goes all the way up, all the way down.
And then you gotta go down the hallway, take the other elevator to go all the way back up.
Willis Tower, you know? It's Express to 99.
Everybody got off but her?
Yeah.
She was not allowed to. It was strictly told no.
Right. So, but okay, let's talk about that for a second. Because the idea of orgasm control and orgasm like denial and play, that can be a lot of fun for people to kind of play with. But I do agree with you that I'm not really sure what he was actually touching. I'm still not clear. Like, I don't know. Maybe they're.
Yeah. I was like, is he. Again. Is he up the butt now? Because I'm like, because where are his hands? I'm like,
his hand was not cupped far enough, seems like, to really.
That wasn't in his contract.
Well, and if that were the case, they would have been like bumping into that lady. Yeah.
There would be no way with her being like, with her being basically a virgin, like he took her virginity.
Right.
There would be no way that she would not be able to control herself and not be like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Can we address that for a second? Like, I have issue with just that concept. I'm not saying that there aren't 22-year-old virgins out there, because I know there are.
Not that look like Dakota Johnson.
That's kind of maybe where I'm going with that. That like. What? And then not only that, like, okay, so she starts having sex and is this like multi-orgasmic, able to just like go for hours at a time person, and you're kind of like,
quite a leap. She's a prodigy.
Right. Well, maybe
we should learn from her. Like, obviously, we're doing it wrong.
Clearly, she doesn't dry up at all.
Maybe
at
the
any
reason
point.
She kept her virginity so long is because she did a lot of self-exploration.
Possibly.
Yeah.
But I'm not, I don't, I
she didn't know what anything was.
Yeah, I don't think
she
didn't
know what
else
there have been.
She couldn't figure out what a butt plug
I'm writing
was.
My
she
own
couldn't figure
fan
that
fan.
Out.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that she actually did not, I don't think she had masturbated. There was some conversation around that because he wanted her to touch herself. And there was some weirdness around
that.
Yeah, yeah.
She had no idea she was doing.
Yeah. So.
Like this? No.
Right.
No.
Little lower. Right.
So was it appropriate to cheer out loud when the helicopter crashed?
Yeah,
I was like, oh my God.
Almost just like applauded into the air. He was so excited. Like,
and
oh, yes,
it was
happening.
Too.
And I think when he came back,
too.
I was like, oh.
Well, and I said,
still not clear how he came back. I don't know what happened. He
there
got
no
it. See, that was.
That.
See,
Lindsay,
that I didn't understand.
He's a billionaire.
So he
hit,
just do
he
that.
Had his billionaire button.
Billionaire button.
And his other helicopter showed up. And
anytime something has to happen to propel his story, he hits his billionaire button. Fireworks go off.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
He has a room full of flowers.
Did you do that?
He has an extra helicopter at the other end of the crash site, so he can just fly
How
back.
How do they know right when to put set off the fireworks?
Billionaire button.
Billionaire button. Everything is timed.
Can
so
I have a billionaire button? Well, how do I get one of
the real question
right?
is, how did they get from the bathhouse or whatever the hell that was up to everybody else?
Yeah.
Billionaire button.
Billionaire button.
So transported there.
I don't know what it was.
So was I like, because I was like, when the helicopter's going down, I'm like, oh, so the old boss did it, huh? He like got
in.
You know, like I was like,
that's what I was
this.
Thinking at first.
I thought Layla broke out,
or Layla,
or that,
Well, and I said, I go, and then you got Kim Basinger, and then you had,
can
like,
we talk about the Kim Basinger relationship?
And then you also had the cocktail waitress at the party who wished him happy birthday.
Yeah,
and I was like,
no. That was actually the family's housekeeper.
Okay,
and she had like known him his whole life, right, and I think had always had a crush on him. That was explained a little more.
So
in the
do
book.
They yeah. all of these people team up and become? Like,
we're not
going to
spoil
villains?
The third movie. We're here to spoil the second movie.
Right. Okay. No, but that would be more fun.
I was like, oh look, they're all teaming up. So they're going to be like the League of Doom. And
there were two things about the helicopter thing I wanted to address. First off, like how short that subplot was.
Yeah.
Like oh
yeah.
Was the shortest subplot in a film since the pregnancy scare in Caddyshack.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, oh, no, this happened. No, it didn't.
There's a citywide manhunt out for Christian Grey. Oh, he's here. Hello.
Like, what are you guys doing here?
The
other thing that I thought was really weird about that scene is that Anastasia's on the couch and Christian's mother is comforting her.
Yeah.
She thinks that her son might be dead, and she's sitting there comforting, like,
she's
the
being
chick
the strong
he's
one,
this
yeah. Tom. She's being the strong one for the family.
Well, see, I don't understand about the helicopter scene, too, is because, like, this all, like, just seemed to be happening just, like, in a couple of hours, where I believe in the book, Ellie, I don't know if you remember, but didn't it last? It was, like, several days.
It was way more exciting.
It was several days that he had heard this. I thought it was not several hours.
This is just Washington State. Okay.
Right.
Like, they didn't crash somewhere.
The Himalayas.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it wasn't like
Costa Rica.
Yeah.
I get it, but I also don't know a ton of people that have walked away from helicopter crashes. And it looked as though they were going to hit a tree. Yes. Billionaire button.
Mm-hmm. Ejector seats.
Yeah.
That's
what the billionaire button does. Yeah. It ejects you from your helicopter.
It has protector bubbles. They could have used that to make the movie a little better.
They did it.
Yeah, I mean, there was entire sequences like when the Layla thing, when he came in and kind of like did sit, stay, whatever he did with her.
Sit,
like
stay.
When all of a sudden she like all of a sudden he silenced her and used his hand gestures. Like Caesar.
And that's why I think that he was able to control her because when she had lost her husband, she had lost a sense of control her whole life, and that's what she knew. She knew
she was
control.
Grasping for it.
She was like, I need to have that control, and that's why she reverted back to him, I believe. That's why she was able to be controlled again because she was looking for that control in her
life.
What was up with the petting? Why was he petting her?
I believe that's what he was kind of doing.
She was
did
a dog,
that.
I guess.
Well, that's what he commanded. Like, he commanded for all of his to when he called for them, he wanted them to be in the kneeling position, hands up, head down, not looking up, and he would come over and caress, and like that was his form of him being there. He was there to be there with her. I think that was his way of comforting her, to give her that control.
And then she got upset and went for like, well, we found out it was a 3-hour walk, although it looked like she was gone for
a 3-hour walk.
Yeah, that was that was not a 3-hour walk.
And then they
skip
past that. Like, there's these things where, like, she's clearly upset again, even though we have already gone. I was like, are you serious? Like,
she's
you are just surprised about this, but okay, whatever.
I really feel like the problem I had was how much they underplayed her getting a gun stuck in her face and almost dying. Like, I realized she got mad and walked off, but I felt it was handled really poorly. I mean, she almost was murdered, right? And so I don't feel like Christian, even though he was like trying to control the other girl, like, I don't feel like he really cared that much and was like, just go to the car or whatever. And then afterwards they downplay it, and it's like, she should have some counseling. Like, she was almost murdered.
Or the fact that she was almost raped by her boss. Could also use some counseling. Just saying. There's a number of things that I'm like, dude, seriously, like,
And the boss. Okay, so at the beginning of the movie, I mean, I was like, well, this guy seems all right.
Yeah.
And then by like halfway through the movie, he's like laying on his couch in the other room. He's covered in sweat. He's got pock marks and his
man,
you know, his eyes are sunken in. I'm like, what happened?
What happened to that character?
It's just like, he just found out that like his boss, you know, like when he came in, when Christian first came into the bar, it was like, whoa, it like just turned everything for this guy.
Yeah, that was weird.
And he turned into the evil villain.
Depicted that.
Yeah.
That was strange.
I feel as though, and I've said this to a few people since I've seen the movie, that I feel like there's a lot of drama that surrounds these people. Like, evil people just find them and want to, like, end them. And I'm like, dude, I do not want to live there. Like, there is way too much eneminess going on.
And Kim Basinger. I mean, having her.
Okay,
like,
yeah, let's talk. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, so Ellie, did you have a question or did you just want to talk about the scene?
No, I want to talk just about the relationship and what we all
Is she the one that started him on all this stuff?
Yeah, she's the one. Yeah, she's the one that, like, when Christian was 14, or 15, to where he was her sub.
Yeah.
And the thing is that we don't really get a ton of information about, like, sort of how they started, other than the fact that it was sort of like he was this sort of not great, well-together kid, and she kind of saved him at a time in his life where he needed saving. And I use mm-hmm. little air quotes because these are, like, all his words, basically. Mm-hmm. I'm not suggesting that there was maybe nothing from that he feels like was good for him. But anytime you have a 15-year-old person having sex with someone well into their 30s or 40s, we have a problem.
Yeah.
So the fact that we're not looking at that as, oh my God, she literally raped him when he was, you know, took advantage of his vulnerability when he was 15 and, like, sort of had him, like, serve her, that's not okay. If you were to reverse the genders on that, there would be massive outcry from everyone.
Right. But I would say that I think that's actually probably one of the more realistic portrayals in the film, because how often do we see this story with, you know, the hot teacher and everybody's like, wow, what would that kid be complaining about? And so
I know.
I'm not saying it's right, but I think it's accurate.
It's a weird
double standard.
Yeah, it's a double standard. It's true because we see it all the time.
Yeah.
And yes, when genders are reversed, people react completely different.
They do.
Double standard.
And so she was like this sort of like this teacher of his, but yet what I feel like happened was that she always sort of looked at him as this person that ultimately she could just always have and control.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So hers was very manipulative. So if he learned from her, he learned a very manipulative way of being, and I think that is sort of portrayed in the story.
Yeah, in the movie, she's upset because she's realizing she's losing control of him.
Right.
Well, yeah, she comes lurking. Mm-hmm. She comes emerging from the shadows at the masquerade ball. I was like, what, is she going to jump her? What's happening? And they have this, like, family showdown.
This dialogue was so
bad. Everybody else is just trying to get their coats.
I just couldn't. I was just cringing, and it was so terrible to watch this. And then
the slowest.
Oh, my gosh.
Here comes a glass to the face.
She should have just dodged.
Hold on, everybody. Yeah,
I'm guessing.
She did it so slow, I thought the water was going to evaporate before it got to her.
I was like, well, Kim Basinger, you could have dodged that.
Yeah. Right.
So do we, I'm guessing the mom doesn't know about the exploit.
At that point, she had no idea.
Because she wouldn't let her around the family gathering.
Right.
But it was a fun time to find out.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, while everybody was getting their coats.
And that exchange to where she finds out in the book is actually a lot more intense to where, like, she... Like,
it would have to be more intense.
I know, exactly.
This was just
the book
like,
has just got, I mean, to translate a book to a movie is difficult enough as it is. Well, but yeah,
some people can do it.
Yeah. Some people did not.
What a terrible...
Harry Potter did it.
What a quiet, terrible, awful scene that whole thing was.
But no, that whole thing to where it was actually a lot... They actually really went into detail about what she did to him. And then she's like, actually, the mom is actually around the corner. She walks in like, you fucking bitch, get the hell out of my house. How dare you? It was a huge exchange in the book.
This was like a scene from Dynasty. And then
they wrestled in the pool.
Right.
It is very soap opera-y. Yes. Where there's like the evil villain around every corner and everyone's out to get everybody and everyone loves each other and hates each other and everybody's having sex with everybody. It's a little soap opera-y.
It did seem very just not the quality of a film of this magnitude. Mm-hmm. You know, like that whole interaction and the acting and the dialogue.
Well, and those two actresses. I mean, you've got Marsha Gay Harden and Kim Basinger, two very, very good actresses.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then not give them
use that moment. Yeah.
I was just like, oh, missed opportunity.
Yes. You know, and a part of me can sort of appreciate some of the movie sort of like in a parody form, or the fact that it's sort of funny and
satirical. That's why we laughed the whole movie.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yes.
But at the same time, I do worry that just because there's parts of it that are satirically funny, that there's also some messages that are being sent.
Well, now there's a bunch of people walking around with those balls up their hoo-ha. They're like, this hurts.
Yeah. Right.
How long does she have those in? A few hours. I don't know. Your standard masquerade ball time.
See, I think the problem is that Dan and Ellie, you guys found some glimmering hope in this movie.
I don't think Dan did.
But you guys laughed
every time
at it.
If a helicopter
you mean
crashed,
we laughed at it?
Or the Ring Girl showed up.
The Ring Girl, I love that.
You know, Simon Bar Sinister, the boss. I was like, yay, something's going to happen.
But you found something to laugh about, to
idea to this movie. The problem is
nobody else in the theater.
I don't think there is any satire or parody. This movie
takes itself
so completely serious, and that's the problem. Is that it's not good enough to be serious, and it's not. It's just not executed.
And it's not campy enough to be you know
a parody or funny. Like it's not supposed to be. So yeah, it's just a mess.
Well, maybe from a directorial perspective, they don't understand what any of this says or how these
I think there's that. I also think that if you look at and a lot of the actors from the movie have even said we didn't make this for the critics, we made it for the fans, and I do agree because it is it is basically done for people that really just love the heck out of it and they don't really care about the reality implications that exist because this movie exists.
Can I ask before you move on?
Yeah.
Did this do anything for anybody that's a fan of the books?
No.
The second one?
I don't know. I've had some people that have said they loved it. I've had some people that have said, you know, that they're just glad they got to see the story continuing. There are some people that just love the fact that they can see these characters that they read and fell in love with on a big screen.
Yeah, I get that. And I get movies that are made for people that enjoy them and are not made for the critics.
I mean, you're talking
these are fans.
You're a comic book fan as well.
Oh, yeah.
So I mean, we get that.
Yeah.
I mean, we're in a time now where we're seeing all these characters that we always loved coming to the screen. So it's enjoyable for us. We get that.
I do, and so I can appreciate that.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I do appreciate that there are fans of it, and I'm not trying to take their enjoyment away.
No.
But I also just feel like I have to be some voice of reason that says this is not a depiction of a healthy, functioning, dominant, submissive relationship. And it's like if that's just the core whatever message that I have to send.
Yeah,
I think it's
missing a lot of the there's a lot missing. Is it dangerous?
I think it borders on that. I think the reason I am okay with it in theory is that it does allow us to have these conversations
to talk about
things that otherwise are very taboo. And you don't, I mean, before, you know, 2012, when these books really hit mainstream, you didn't hear a lot of people talking about bondage and discipline. That just wasn't happening. Well, okay, Dan might have, but you know,
that was just a section on
Pornhub
for a while.
Right.
It wasn't any discussion,
right? You know, and so I feel like it's done a whole lot for
she
the ability.
A lot about Pornhub.
She does, right?
Let's circle back to that.
Right. Should we analyze that further? No. So, yeah, you know, I feel like it has done a lot for conversation and people to kind of maybe discover. Like, I work with people all the time that say, you know, I read those books and I had never heard of what it meant to be dominant or submissive. Mm-hmm. And it actually got me reading and going and looking for other sources to kind of understand fully what was going on. So it really has been eye-opening for a lot of people. If someone watches it, reads it, whatever, and takes it as this literal, this is what I should go do, yeah, it's very dangerous.
That's what I thought.
I think one of the other problems with it is the story arc of the trilogy seems to be...
That's a trilogy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Damn it.
Oh, no, it won't. Now when they figure out they can split it into two more movies.
No, don't say that.
No. Please don't say that.
Not based on what it did this weekend.
Did anybody say...
Was it bad? What did it do?
Did anybody say...
Not bad, but it did 45 this weekend. The first one did 85 over.
Okay. Did anybody stay through the credits?
No.
No.
Did he spank her with Thor's hammer?
There's a scene in the next movie.
What? Is it really?
Yeah.
But it was so bad that I ran out of there.
We had to go to the bathroom.
It shows like the wedding, and it shows like they're on a honeymoon. Yeah. And
those are kind of big plot points as far as for a movie that didn't have any plot. They show a wedding and honeymoon after the credits?
Yes, it's
Fifty Shades.
But the third book is a little bit better. The second book was the worst book. So maybe there's a little hope.
The third book has got a little kidnapping, shooting,
murder.
There is stuff in the third book that makes it more interesting, but I do feel like there were still parts in the third book that drug for me that I was very difficult at
that. I hope there's enough time frame in between the second and third that main, her old boss, the villain, can grow a handlebar or a curly mustache. And I hope it takes place next to a railroad track.
Yeah,
that's
I'm
hoping for.
Okay, we'll see what we can do about that.
I can promise you this, someone will be tied up.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say is...
Maybe more than one person.
The things that... one of the problems with the movie overall is that the overarching... arc of the storyline is that if he loves her enough, he will stop having these sexual desires.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I struggle with that as the core of what I do every day of my life is that these are not behaviors to look at as a problem. These, and obviously they're not looked at as a problem in the movie because she enjoys partaking in them as well. And so it's sort of like we're looking at him because he likes it and saying there's something wrong with him, but because she wants to play with him, we're not categorizing her as crazy.
Yeah.
Right.
And so it's one of those really interesting things that I feel like, why do we have to stigmatize it as saying that, like, this has to be done away with?
And that's just not how the human mind works. I mean, anybody who's ever tried to pray the gay away will tell you
that it's that working out. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, it's just not going to work.
And and I think if people are looking at it that way, like, I don't see it at all as he does all this stuff so he must be crazy. I think the opposite. I think he has mental issues and
he's
doing
major
these things
mommy
in an unhealthy way. But he's not mentally unstable because he does this stuff, but he has issues and shouldn't be doing.
He's mentally unstable because of how he does this stuff.
What about his switcheroo that he pulls when all of a sudden he's like, I'm not a submissive, or I'm not dominant, I'm a sadist.
Yeah, so, and that also is bothersome to me. Actually, in the movie, when he did that, I just went, growled.
Right.
Okay, so what he's referring to is an older diagnosis where someone could be diagnosed as a sexual sadist, and it says that they enjoy inflicting pain on other people for sexual gratification. Well, sadomasochism is basically that. It's saying that one person enjoys receiving, one person enjoys inflicting. There is a mutual beneficial relationship occurring, but that's what that is.
Right.
And sexual sadism doesn't actually exist as like a negative diagnosis, and he's sort of treating it like that.
Right.
Now, I do agree that he may be someone that has always sought partners in his relationship that look like his mom that he's angry at. Okay, no problem there. Mm-hmm. I will go with you on that psychological tangent. However, that doesn't mean the way you're seeking to then play that out is really healthy.
Yeah,
it just seemed like that, again, this was playing, you know, sort of a Reader's Digest version of this world, and that he just sort of switched.
I don't exactly know what they were going for when they did that. I'm not clear on it, because it's like, okay, we're talking about being dominant. We're talking about being dominant. Yeah, there's some sadomasochism play that's occurring. Obviously, we see that, so that's what's happening. But then to all of a sudden classify yourself as a sexual sadist, and that somehow you're not dominant and it's not okay. You're actually a sadist and it's not okay. Like, I'm very, I don't know. It's very weird, and I don't feel like that helps explain anything. It just sort of added more questions.
Did he agree to change his ways for her to marry him? Or I was kind of zoning out during this movie.
Did you hear him basically? He's never going to change.
Yeah, I mean, but so like, what was he agreeing to? Was he agreeing to be her submissive? Or what did
No,
what did
it
they
was
agree
more
to?
So that he was agreeing to sort of be more in like a vanilla-ish relationship is what I call it, where it's like, it's not all the time they're in this like 24/7 situation where he's constantly her master and she's constantly his slave, but more so they can play with those elements if they want to, but more so at her prodding, and that the rest of it's just going to be sort of general vanilla stuff.
Well, it's like he's handing over the billionaire button to her,
right?
And she's clicking it, but then every now and then she's like, "Ooh, I don't like it." And she gives it back to him.
Sort of. And so there are people that play that way, because here's the thing. In a dominant and submissive relationship, okay, anytime you're playing, who really has the control? Is it the dominant person or is it the submissive person? Ultimately, the submissive person has the ultimate control.
Yeah, they have the word.
They have the word, right. And so, but the thing is, that submissive person doesn't want to use the safe word. The goal is not to get the person to safe word out. The safe word is there to be safe, but the idea is that you're supposed to be so in tune with your partner that you get them as close to that level as you can without pushing them past it. And that the person who's submitting says, I trust you to take me as close to that limit as you can without pushing me past it. And so, therefore, we can both get enjoyment out of it.
It's just weird
because I wish you could have been consulted when they were making this movie.
Yeah.
Right. That would have been,
why
I would
didn't
have loved
they consult
that
with experts?
You would
when
wonder
when they were making
this. They thought they knew.
I think
because every time they talk to you, we learn so much more about how a healthy relationship should be.
Well, good. I'm
and
glad.
It's not
that's
portrayed
that's
that way
my goal.
In the movie.
So good. Yeah.
But again, it's frustrating that the producers and directors didn't actually speak to the experts.
Did anyone notice the Riddick poster in his childhood?
Yeah,
I did.
I was like, oh, good job, Universal. Throw that in there.
In this universe, though, I mean, that may be his Citizen Kane, like, in this universe. Because
it's funny, it gave me something to do, because I sat there calculating, like, wouldn't you have been old enough to have liked that movie when it came out?
Yeah, I know.
Like,
I was like, hold up, that movie came out in 1990. It was pretty sure it was like 97, 98.
And he had UFC posters, and I was like, that all looks about right.
Dan also got excited when Dakota Johnson's character quoted the...
Oh, yeah. Did anybody else notice there's an entire entire scene
dialogue
from Working Girl in this movie.
The exact dialogue
verbatim
from Working Girl.
I even played it for Ellie, so I was like, let's go to the very end of Working Girl, as played by Dakota Johnson's mother, Melanie Griffith. So the scene where she's suddenly promoted and she's talking to the secretary and it's like, how do we work this out?
That
dialogue is verbatim from the very end of Working Girl.
Interesting.
Which I was like,
it was cool.
That was like the most exciting. I was like,
he's like, oh my gosh, that's what Working Girl.
And I'm like showing her, I'm like, look. And it's like, you know, because there was nothing else happening in this
the
movie.
The one where she says to the secretary, you don't have to get me coffee unless you're getting coffee. It's the exact verbatim word for word from Working Girl.
Verbatim. An entire scene is lifted from Working Girl.
He
which
was
is,
very excited about
I was
that.
Like, well, that's kind of cool because that was her mom.
It was her mom.
Yeah, like an ode to her mom.
Yeah. I don't
or was
know
it just
why?
Lazy?
Well, I don't. I was like,
why
of
all the movies, this movie to,
yeah,
to
it's
do
like,
that?
I don't know why. What reasoning they have other than the mom? But I was just
don't
like,
remind us of better movies.
But then was
you
just
know?
Like, I'm like,
and
I was
don't
like,
remind us that her parents might watch this.
Well, you know, I sat there, but Don Johnson, you know, I mean, what was he?
Dude, when someone was, okay. When someone stars in a movie like this, Dakota Johnson, do her parents go to the premiere and watch this?
I want to the first
say
one.
That they did, because
they
I
did.
Remember watching I mean, something with her mom and her grandmother.
So proud of our little girl.
Pretty much. That's what they said.
I mean, she is so naked in this movie.
She is so naked. Dad, don't look at my
getting,
nipples.
And getting flipped over and stuff. Which, I mean, I'm just saying for your parents to see that.
Yeah, yeah. No, I hear you. Right. I'm not saying I'd want my dad there.
Yeah. That is just weird to me. I don't, you know, I would be like, I'm going to, you know, good for you. I'm going to stick it home for this one, honey.
Yeah, yeah. Eyes, close your eyes. Right, close your eyes for this part. That's half the movie. Okay, sorry. You know, yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't know if anyone else felt this way, but I never believed that I would be longing to have seen a Twilight movie watching this movie. Like,
you
compared,
know?
Seriously, yeah. Compared
I know,
to
I want
Twilight.
To now.
I mean, since this is based on the Twilight fanfic,
no.
I was watching this movie and I'm like, oh, I would rather be watching
no,
Twilight,
honestly,
which is just
the movie
crazy.
I wanted to watch when we were watching this, and the trailer we saw was this new movie with Katherine Heigl and Rosario Dawson.
It looks terrible.
It looks absolutely. Did you see the trailer for it? Or
it wasn't part of our movie, but I have seen
it
that
looks,
trailer. Dear God, that looks terrible.
It looks batshit crazy, bad.
Yeah.
I mean,
but
it's Katherine
like,
Heigl.
I
she
wish.
Can't do anything right now. Anyways,
I wish.
So
yeah, Katherine Heigl. Like the evil
desperate
stepmom.
For her.
But I mean,
no, right she's yeah.
I can't stand her.
Oh, it looks terrible. Yeah. But I was like, well, at least you know, stupid things happen for the right reason,
right? And I want to clarify. There are a lot of movies I'd rather be watching. So don't get me wrong. That my number one choice was Twilight. But like, I was yearning for the day.
Comparison.
I was yearning for the day I could have been in the theater reviewing a Twilight movie.
No,
well,
I mean,
compared to this.
I mean, if you think about it, that's what's happening. Is that okay? So I'm sure y'all reviewed Twilight or wanted to or saw it or thought about
did
reviewing
we do the
it.
Last
if you
ones,
weren't,
Breaking
I think we
Dawn.
Did the last
or, yeah.
Ones.
Okay, so. You've already reviewed this movie. Now you're just reviewing the sexy version of it, which is really not anything new to the plot. It's just the sexy version. It's kind of interesting.
Unquote, you have to say quote unquote sexy version.
The sexy, quote unquote the sexy version. Yeah.
Just to clarify,
I have to say what I'm doing. Yeah.
No. I mean, just nothing happens in this movie except for what this movie is notorious for, or known for, or infamous for, and it's handled so poorly.
But the sex scenes weren't even that good.
I agree.
Honestly, I was telling Kevin in the last bite, I wish they would just license the movie to a straight up porn distributor.
I think it would have been better, actually, honestly. Because
the dialogue would have been better.
And they would have known what they were doing.
There would have even been a plot for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
And might I even suggest that it might have been better if they had a more female driven crew, because I think the books are specifically written for a female audience. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that men don't enjoy them on some level, but they are written, it's female
target.
Written erotica. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. And so,
I said the same thing in the movie that Kevin said on the podcast. It was like, why is Christian Grey so close?
Yes,
I mean, that's not the people that are coming to this movie.
Yes, we want to see him naked.
Oh, and that's not a normal complaint for me, but I can see that, like, that's the movie you're watching.
I want to see at least half of his dick.
Yes.
And that's her requirement.
His pants never come down.
No, he gets 6 inches of his. We saw one scene of his entire ass, and that's because he's walking
and
in the bathroom.
And it was so fast.
And it was real quick. It was real done, and we're like, oh, that's it. No more. That's it.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like when we saw Superman Returns, he didn't punch anybody.
Yeah.
We're like, well, exactly wait, Superman's got to punch people. Nope. He's got to fight.
Right.
No, no, no. You don't need that. It's like, it's the it's the non-nerd version of that.
It made right. no sense. I was like, his pants really never come down.
I hope this the third one goes straight to, like, Showtime or something. And seriously, because this is the
You're right. That would be better.
It should go straight to a network. Like, HBO probably won't pick it up at Showtime.
Red Shoe Diaries.
I think it's already
50 Shades Freed.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that Universal's doing it. Yeah, I think it's the same thing. Yeah.
Oh, did they shoot him at the same time?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
That was smart. Because based on box office, they probably would have made it.
It's one of those they already have and maybe they knew that on some level. I mean, they had. You got to think they have to know on some level when they're watching this stuff back. Like, this is not the most stellar movie that's ever been made.
I think they also had trouble. Didn't they have trouble getting the leads back for this film?
Yes. Yeah, they did.
Which is why I believe they shot it simultaneously.
Oh, I didn't realize they had trouble getting the leads back. Okay.
Well, the thing is, the movie made $500 million, and the actors got paid like $40,000 or something.
I mean, they got paid really low.
I mean, they got paid like nothing.
Yeah.
They got paid nothing.
So they were
pretty mad.
Come back. They had to negotiate.
Like if you're going
to
make hundreds of millions of dollars and we're the ones getting naked or one of us, then
there was talk for a while that they might recast.
Not both of us.
Yeah.
And that made me think too about going back to what, like, him wearing too much clothes. I'm thinking, like, in those sex scenes where he's only, like, just barely pulled down his pants, like, his dick has got to hurt with the zipper. I mean, that's going to be like, rubbing against
or her.
Yeah,
that's what
that is not going to be wonderful.
He's rich. Rich people have button crotches. They don't use zippers. They use
buttons. I don't want a button
still,
digging into me.
No,
well, I'm just saying. There's no zipper.
That'd be like a clank.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, there you go. It's right there, right on his crotch.
Yeah, so she pressures the billionaire.
Yeah,
that's how that works.
Right, that's where it is. I mean, it's just located. Just beep beep.
So he proposes to her.
Four or five times.
And that's it.
And the fireworks go off exactly when he proposes to her. Yeah. They just knew
the fireworks that were scheduled for his birthday party. She's like, "How did you do that?" And it's like, because it was his birthday party.
Because the birthday party with the fireworks.
They told you there were going to be fireworks at the birthday party.
But
But
she's already. She's already accepted.
I know, multiple times.
Yes.
Yeah,
he
like
had
three
not
or four.
Given her a ring yet.
Yeah, this was about a ring.
But okay, yet here's the other thing. Did he not just get through saying at the party we're going to go shopping together and then?
It was an element of surprise,
apparently. Yeah.
but they treat it like it's an emotional moment. It's like, you guys already did this. Like, constantly, like, Dakota Johnson, I think she might have short-term memory loss. She keeps forgetting what his lifestyle is. She forgot that she accepted.
Maybe some of those hits are to the head.
Yeah. Like, constantly, I'm like, why are you surprised again? You already told him yes. Well, you were surprised about the Red Room again.
Right.
She went back to the Red Room like it was like, where am I?
What are these all things? This stuff?
But these it was are all unlocked. The things hanging out of you
he
last time.
He did have really cool nipple clamps, though.
Yes. Agree. I've never tried those. Those looked interesting.
I love you.
I learned a lot. Well, so I do
expensive.
At least, and that's why I wish the sex scenes were better because I want to learn about since I haven't.
They should just, what they should do is in the sex scenes, whenever there's a new piece of equipment, in the bottom there should be like a name
and a hashtag.
You should be able to Shazam it.
That would be so
and then it adds to your card.
Yeah, that would be cool. That would be. That's actually how I learned most of my stuff was watching documentaries where they would go, this is a such and such device,
right.
And then they would show it an application, and you're like, huh, okay, now cool. I know, like that. But yes, because I feel like there's so many people watching it that are going,
what
y'all call the spreader bar? Y'all like what what did y'all call it? Y'all all called it something.
I don't think we knew.
I think you're like
bar
what?
Thing.
That bar thing. Yeah, that bar
that
thing.
Ankle bar.
Yeah, like,
yeah. There you go.
How do you Google that? You're not gonna know the names. Like.
Ankle bar thing. Okay,
there might be a lot of weird things coming up on that one.
When she picked it up, I thought it was like one of those things you put like around the neck.
I was like, is that a cow prod?
You know,
that's what I say. Like, everybody had a different idea.
First
when I saw that, I thought something like you put like on your arm and you like it somehow helps you walk. I'm like, that would help her walk out of there when he's done with her? Like, is that going to help her get around because she can't walk by herself? I know. So like, what is this thing?
So here's one example. Like, what that, and I don't know if they did this in the books or not, but I know that I've seen it depicted where it's like they have the spreader bar involved, or they have something that's got the feet shackled, and then they have the hands shackled, and if they shackle them to each other, then you're hogtied.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's
so
weird. I thought it was a scene from Misery.
Yeah.
I thought it was something from Les Mis. I thought it was something when they're walking
in the
chain.
You're thinking of Les Jizz.
Okay, so I think that was most of it. But Dan did have a good video recovery. Do you want to do that?
We're getting into the cliffhanger, and then we'll do your video.
Yeah, the cliffhanger. So,
I'm sorry, I'm done because it was such a bad movie.
No, I know. Although I feel like based on this movie, it's like a 20 something year old episode of Real Sex on HBO. I had more insight into this.
Those were better.
Yeah, I would have rather that.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, okay, I totally kind of understand that now.
Right.
I love that show.
But compared to this, it's like, wow, this is, I mean.
So our cliffhanger ending.
Oh, I'm sorry. Quick. So yeah. we got a cliffhanger. Is
Snidely Whiplash is on the other side of the lake,
other side of the
watching
wherever.
A party that he had no idea was going to take place.
Fireworks are happening,
right. And then for no one's purpose, he has a picture.
Yeah.
The picture
a printed out
version of the picture that he took on his iPhone at the party.
Right.
That was printed out solely so he could burn through somebody's face with a cigarette.
It was Christian's face.
Yeah.
It was so bad.
Right. His master plan was like, I'm gonna sneak into this masquerade ball.
Take a picture.
I'm gonna take a
photo,
and then I'm gonna go home. And I'm gonna make sure I have enough ink and photo paper. And I'm gonna print it out, and then I'm gonna come back and I have the next party.
And like, why would he need fireworks?
I'm totally gonna burn it.
Why would he need to sneak
in
to take a picture? Like, he's a famous billionaire. He's on TV and
just
print something out from Google. Okay, but again, why is he taking a picture of a picture?
Right. Yeah, it was. Right.
Why didn't you steal the picture?
And then printing out that picture.
Right.
Yeah.
Printing off a picture of a picture.
Yeah.
It was just so horrific when they showed the fireworks scene and all that, and they showed him in his like dark, like half face hidden in the shadows, burning cigarette holes in people's faces.
Yeah, he looks like Two-Face from Batman.
Yeah.
And
how long
was he there?
Well,
how long was he there waiting for this to happen?
I have not read the books, but since he has all the cigarette burns, Christian does, was that some kind of like foreshadowing?
No, you are making this a much better movie. That would have been great.
You're actually giving them credit for having a good idea, because in my mind I'm going, oh man,
if only they could have tied that together.
Because
all I could think was cigarette burns, dude burning some stuff, this is why villains will never vape.
Well, I even told Ellie, I go, so is he like Kim Basinger's son, and they're like, you know, like half, you know,
ooh,
sort of
weird threesome
siblings or something.
See,
like
that would be awesome too.
Yeah, I don't think any of this is happening. But I was like,
we're writing a story, right? We're coming up with our own. We're writing 50 Shades fan fiction.
No, we're gonna get to that point.
It's like a photocopy of a photocopy.
Right.
Yeah,
what
it's like
is
a picture
happening?
Of a picture.
Right.
Like, didn't print
holding
out.
On.
See why he printed out.
I won't print this out though. No.
So Dan, on that note, do you have a video recovery for the group?
Well, I started this week, and I was like, what's the opposite movie? And I started watching Death Race 2050. It's on Netflix right now. It's terrible, but it's the evil.
I was
going to
say Brother, Son, Sister, Moon, the story of Francis Assisi.
Yeah. No. So there's this movie that came out in 1999 called Audition. It's a Japanese film. If you haven't seen it, it is not the movie you expect. And I have to say that if you watch it, especially watch the uncut version, it is not for the squeamish. And the movie is about this older gentleman who, his wife died like 7 years before, and he hasn't dated, and he decides that maybe he should start dating. His son's encouraging him to date, and his buddy says, you know, they work for a production company, and his buddy says, hey, you know what? You know, why don't we just have like an audition for a movie that we're going to make, and we can use this as your, you know, way to meet, you know, prospective, you know, brides.
It's the Tom Cruise story.
Yes. And, you know, it's a little sketchy what they're doing. And the guy's like, yeah, maybe we'll make the movie too. And so they do have these auditions, and they go through the process, and they end up, the guy starts reading the bios on the back of, the call sheets and everything. And, reads about this one girl and becomes kind of fixated on her story. And she's quite a bit younger. And they end up forming a relationship. And then things go massively wrong for this because the girl has a little bit more of a backstory than this guy is anticipating, and it goes from sort of a creepy, arranged marriage kind of a thing to like hostile or saw. And I don't want to give away too much, but as far as a movie, I mean, it's one that you'll never forget if you do watch it. But I will have to say that if you watch it, it's be prepared for it to get
dark.
Whoa.
It messes with you.
50 Shades Darker.
Oh. 50 Shades Black.
We wish.
Although, I mean, it's incredibly well done. And yeah, I mean, it's in Japanese. You're going to have to read the movie, but it's a great movie. And a nice opposite of this whole relationship of watching Dakota Johnson just be sort of a character pawn for two movies now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say, credit to her for adding any life to this movie.
Oh yeah,
she's the high point of the film, not just because she's naked.
No, she actually adds some sort of like
she makes believability some pretty stupid lines sound okay.
Oh,
like
she
does.
Fuckery.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, which is kind of cute. Yeah.
Yeah.
When I heard that, I just.
And
well,
he's
that's
terrible.
In the books. It's really in the books so long.
And you keep distracting me with your kinky fuckery.
Yeah. I had to go on Facebook during the movie immediately and be like, I wish I could be distracted
from this
kinky fuckery.
You guys remember that this Jamie Dornan came in really late into production. It was Charlie Hunnam.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the guy. Yeah.
He would have been
Anarchy.
A much better character, Charlie
Hunnam.
Who I think
would have been better.
Yeah.
He would have a couple of people that would have been better.
He was more. He looked. Charlie Hunnam's actual look was actually more like he was in the book.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
That's why, like, when I heard that Jamie Dornan, I'm like, no.
He didn't look like him.
No.
Yeah.
He's too little. He's, like, Christian Grey's supposed to be, like, really buff and, like, huge.
Yeah.
Not, like, grossly huge, but, like, huge.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he would have been much better. But he did Pacific Rim instead.
Well, I looked it up, right. And each
good
actor,
choice.
Dakota Johnson and Jamie Dornan. They made $250,000 each for the first movie, which made over $500 million.
Oh, I would have been so mad.
No wonder.
Oh,
yeah, no wonder.
I mean, it did make them famous.
So she got fucked in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And not in a fun way.
No.
Or a kinky way.
No. But in a very
straightforward
dominating way.
Yeah. Hollywood was the dominant on that one.
Right.
She was definitely submissive.
And I don't think she contractually agreed.
No.
Well, she might have. That might have been a problem.
That was,
she signed off for it.
She had a better contract than Gray did.
That's funny.
She did contractually agree. However, there was butt stuff.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Isn't there butt stuff in the books, though?
I want to say it's in the third movie.
You
there is a very small amount of her playing with an anal vibrator.
Yeah.
She does play with a small vibrator anally, and I don't know if she does it with him or by herself. I think it's with him, but it's not something that, like, there's no anal sex that ever happens.
I'm surprised he would allow her to do anything on her own.
I don't think it was on her own. I think he might be doing it.
I think he supplies it, and then she uses it on herself, but he's there.
Yeah, right. It's all happening.
Mm-hmm. Okay, also, I do have the last question.
She saves
okay,
that
so,
for marriage because she's old fashioned.
So she's on when they're texting back and forth, and she's on an iPhone, mm-hmm. and then he's on I don't know what, but what is
that?
That
is a great question.
I'm like, does he have bad eyesight? That is like 28-point type on his screen. And he's in the middle of a big meeting, and all this crap is coming up on his phone, and I'm like, the lady next to him has got to be like, this is awkward. This conversation is.
The other thing I thought was funny is if you read the thread, it's like they'll go weeks without talking, and then the line right above it is whatever they said 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
like it was like the thread of the conversation.
And he deleted all of her texts,
right.
And she didn't delete his, which I just thought was funny.
He's deleting the texts, ladies. That's a sign.
Watch him.
So, well, thank you for the video recovery.
Oh yeah.
And I guess we will go around the table, and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67. GRANEY.
This is Kevin. You can follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Lindsay, where can they find you and your services?
Yes, they can. Well, they can call my office directly, 314-485-9189. They can
go.
You
have it written on your finger? She's like moving her fingers.
That's right. No, I talk with my hands.
She's also a stenographer.
I am, right?
No, she's spellcasting.
And then they can find me on Facebook, Facebook.com/sexythoughts. That's my radio show. Or they can go to Facebook.com/LindsayWald and they can find me either place. And then if they are interested in any of the Onyx or other Pure Romance collection, they can go to PureRomance.com/LindsayWalden. And that's LindsayWalden.
Awesome. Thank you. And so
thank y'all for having me.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for coming back. It's not often when we have topics like this that people are willing to come back. So.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, as soon as you texted me, I was like, oh my gosh, yes, I want to do it.
That's
you.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. You should talk to Jill and his wife.
So
you're here because, oh man,
your explanation was invaluable because we would have no idea how to describe what happened.
Yeah.
So there's just
we would have just been like, that bar thing, though.
Yeah, no. I'm going to try that bar thing.
thing. What and those balls. Thing? What do those balls do? Not in the butt, right? Yeah.
So that's it for this episode. I'm not entirely sure what we'll be doing next week. I'll be out of town, so we'll have to figure out how we want to do all that. And at some point, we'll do another one.
Yeah.
I swear.
Probably.
I don't think we're going to stop after 257 of these things.
Yeah.
So also don't forget, you can go and find us at our own Facebook page, facebook.com/RealSpoilers, on Twitter, @RealSpoilers, on the internet at realspoilers.com, or never more appropriate than ever, you can also find our website at dirtypiratehookers.com. And remember, hookers is plural, because anything worth doing is worth doing right.
Yeah.
So that's it for this episode. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, John gets a prostitute for Elizabeth. Are you going to take it tonight?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.